It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Blindly obvious, it's clear as can be. The things we ignore, but we all can see. Darkness, it flees when scattered by the light. Blindly obvious, hidden in plain sight.
Welcome back to Blindly Obvious Part 3 with Orion Jones. Many of us spend our lives chasing phantoms, pursuing things in the end that do not matter. Orion discusses where he hit the bottom of the barrel. And it was here, ironically, where he was considering ending it all, that he found the meaning of life.
Football is something I love. Love football. But I know it's a... In the grand scheme, it's just a distractionary game, right? But I didn't used to see it that way. Football used to be like my life. Like it mattered if this team won or this team.
Did you see that?
But in the grand scheme, it doesn't matter at all. Like it's just a fun entertainment distraction.
Yeah.
You know what it also does? It emasculates men. Let me explain to you how. The Romans figured this out with the Colosseums. If you could watch a fight, as opposed to being in a fight, you get the same adrenaline rush and feel that purpose and you're cheering for your team.
Well,
that's without any consequence of being in the fight.
Yes.
So the football games, now no one's dying.
You get your pants, you get up, right. You know, like you're the man, like you don't
from row 20 of this section 218.
The leap is from, so instead of having a citizenry that will rise up because they give them the Colosseum and they see a fight, so they won't fight, but they're cheering for their favorite person.
It's basically sit in the crowd and watch the show on the stage.
You become
a non-player character.
Well done.
Is that NPC?
Yeah.
We become NPCs that...
Because you become a passive and you're living vicariously.
That are controlled.
Yes,
100%. That are controlled. Yeah. And football is taking that place. Only no one dies out there in the arena except for us.
Yeah.
In the stands.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I actually, as a sports guy, have gotten away from following sports as much for those reasons. Is where's my priorities? What's my number one things that I'm focusing on per day? And poor Reek. And that's where, for the first time in my life, I can look you in the eye and tell you that I am chasing my purpose.
Right.
My purpose, and if you ask me what's my why, it's to, I have love in my heart and I'm sharing it with the world through the messaging that Christ has given
me.
And that is such an incredible thing. And then it breaks down to the different levels of, you know, what's my program? What's the I am philosophy? What's the mind, body,
the
and spirit?
Yes, I can hear it though. You got a fire in your voice, man.
My mission.
You remind
is
me
to
of
people's
Vivek
lives
Ramaswamy,
better.
Actually.
A little Vivek.
Yeah. I feel like you kind of speak like him.
I know what God gave me, and it's so simple. And again, after 700 near death experiences, the simplicity of why we're here. And love, love, love is the number one thing. Find your purpose. Love yourself. Find out who you are. Because authenticity was the other number one thing that I captured in my spiritual studies. Is that being true to yourself and who you are. And that goes along with your purpose, your why. And forgiving yourself and being grateful for what you have. And to your point of, I'm going to work 20 hours a week instead of 40. Right now, I have the most incredible life I've ever lived in my ever. Do I have boats? Do I have multiple cars? No, and it doesn't matter.
And you weren't that didn't bring you happiness anyway.
No, my joy and happiness on a daily basis is unbelievable.
Well, I think you find oftentimes, not in every case, but oftentimes people who live that life you just described, have three homes, a couple boats. How often do they actually get to enjoy any of that?
And I always challenge people out there.
Because they're always working.
How often have you ever stepped out? And I do this almost on a daily basis, and I step out and I say, thank you, God, so much. Thank you. I have a roof over my head. Right. My girls are in their bed sleeping peacefully. I have 10 fingers and 10 toes. I don't even know you guys out there right now. And there's 20 to 25 things that I can name for everyone that you can be grateful for, everything you can be grateful for right now.
One you just nailed that we all take for granted. How about just good health?
Yeah.
It would be a fun experiment. I wish we could do this and just follow your life. From your test to your testimony, to see the trajectory change, not just for you, but for your girls because of what you've uncovered and how their life will be different because of what you've learned and what you will share with them.
Yep. And they're seeing me, and right. I posted on there, I always have inspirational things, and in their bathroom it says, those that can see the invisible can do the impossible. Mm. And that's that.
Pretty cool.
And that's what God put inside your heart and inside your head to be able to give you the vision of, if he's showing it to you and he's putting it inside your heart, you can accomplish it. But you can't accomplish it if you're doing these things in your life that don't line up with that mission.
We've all got things in our hands, and God's trying to give us things that we've picked up. We've gone through our life, but this makes me happy. And God said, I want to give you something better, but your hands are full.
Ooh, well said. Mm. Yeah. And that's what I truly feel of, okay, why are they full? Where's your priorities? Right. What are you doing in your life? You know, and what's your focus? And doing what my purpose is in life, the doors that have opened up for me of opportunity are unbelievable.
I always kind of describe it like this. We have this, in finding our purpose, oh man, there's a mountain here. God, could you move this mountain? And I can just be doing whatever. I see this image of the dream I'm doing. And God said, sure, here's a shovel.
Yeah.
I'm listening to both of you. And it's like, I'm the oldest guy here, barely. I'm not afraid to die, but I'm terrified that my life didn't matter.
1,000,000,000%.
If we could all wrap our mind around that and there's your drive. You know, it's like, so what is the splash God is calling you to make? And man, make it big.
Yes. Yes. And that's that. On every grave, in every graveyard, in every tombstone, there's a born on date and an end date. And in between those two, there's a dash. And that dash represents every day of your life. When you were born, when you died, and then there's a dash. What do you want that dash to be? When you think about it like that, of like, yes, I want to live my life with morals, ethics, character, drive. I want people to say, and I want to be able to say at the end of my days, that I chased my true purpose, that I made a difference in this life, that I spread love and did everything I could to make this world a better place.
I want to help the people who are listening to this be able to wring out every drop that they can benefit from.
Nicely said.
If you are sitting here saying, does my life matter? If you're even having to ask that question, let me tell you, you're not investing in your purpose or the mission. You are chasing the American dream that is empty. It's the empty treasure box.
Ain't no U-Haul behind a hearse.
That's right. That's right. And I'm telling you, the three guys sitting here are founded in Christ. You've been investing in a dead end. What have you got to lose of giving Christ a chance? Taste and see the Lord is good.
Yes. Well said. I love the saying of, I would rather be a warrior in a garden than a gardener in a war. You guys ever heard that before?
Yep, yeah.
I have not, but that makes a lot of sense.
And that's the greatest leaders are the best swordsmiths that know how to wield their sword as a professional, but also have the capacity to keep it sheathed.
Well, your Jordan Peterson's one of those that says, you know,
love him.
To tell a man to be gentle means he's capable of great harm.
Yes. If not, you have no virtue about
you. Right,
right. If you're nonviolent because you don't have the capability to be violent and you're making that choice, then you have no virtue about you. You're just a pansy.
You know what you are? You're a bystander sitting in the bleachers watching the fight. That isn't really a fight. It's just a stage.
There's your bite, yep.
Yeah, and that's why we're in trouble is because...
Professional wrestling.
And again, the only one dying in that little war is you.
Yeah.
It gets you to the same place you found yourself.
Yep.
At suicide. Of some kind. A self-destructive lifestyle or life-ending choice.
Yes. That does lead to that. That self-destructive lifestyle and that...
Get out of the bleacher, man.
Yes.
And get in the game and get into life and fight the fight.
I challenge it again. Who out there can answer the question when I say to you, what's your purpose? What's your why? Why are you here? And it's not just to work, retire, die.
You know, it helps you if you can say, what would you be willing... to live for? And then also, what would you be willing to die for? And are those reflected currently in your life? If they're not, then fix it.
How big would you dream if you knew you could not fail?
Right.
And I love that too, because it's like, what are your wishes? What are your dreams? Oh, if I knew that I could pay my mortgage and I wouldn't fail, I would love to do this, 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 and this. Well, you can. It's just taking the proper steps. What is the journey of 1,000 miles? What is that first step? And my first step was stepping back and going, okay, look in the accountability mirror, figure out how to love myself, go back to school. You know, it was multiple things at the same time, become healthy, shut this down, look at my friend group. I mean, I literally looked at every aspect of my life, and that's where it's not just one.
So a full self audit.
And then what can I do in every department to become the best version of me. How can I eat healthier? How can I exercise more? How can I, what am I reading? What am I bringing in? What's my spirituality?
Wow. A true measurement that you become the best version of yourself is how you love others.
100%.
Again, so if you want to measure that, look at how you treat people. Look at how you treat people like the waitress or the waiter who can do you no harm.
It's not the people. It's not the CEOs and the VPs. Right. It's the people that clean the floors that matter on how right. you treat them.
God gives us everything we need, not only to have life everlasting, but the maximum life in the one that we're currently in.
Jeremiah 29:11. You know, the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, right. and the plans to prosper you and right. give you the life and right. give you the blessings. I know I'm not exactly quoting it, but I truly have never been happier in my entire life. Right. Like, and of course I want more financial success to be able to, you know, money makes the world, you know, you have to make it to be able to have a nice house like this sure. and this ability. So I'm not discontent.
It's just not your main priority anymore.
Happiness doesn't lie within the value, mm-hmm. how much money I make.
It was a book I read when I was trying to get healthy with my body. You know, one of the areas of yeah. the trio was that it was a mind shift that I had to go through. And it's true for all aspects. I used to eat food for enjoyment, you know, like to, for entertainment.
Yeah.
And I had to have a mind shift. And that's why I was overweight. I was 248 pounds. I got
big.
Wow,
really?
Yeah, I got big. Yeah. I was living to eat because of my mindset.
Yeah.
And what I needed to get to was I needed to eat to live. And so food stopped being an entertainment for me or where I found fulfillment or happiness. It became just what I needed to sustain me to live my life.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Oh, 100%.
Same thing for all things we're talking about.
Yeah.
Whether it's relationships, whether it's a recreational drink to watch or having playing. Okay, here you're going to like this, Tyler. Pulling the lever on the jackpot. Whatever. I mean, that's fine. It just shouldn't be all consuming.
Right. Shouldn't be the only thing you're worried about. Yeah. And that's the mindset of I get to do things I don't have to. It's the being grateful for everything. It's the eat your food as your medicine or else you'll be eating your medicine as your food.
Right.
And you know what though? I'll tell you what, that's such a simple statement. And you know, you actually explained this earlier it's so incredibly simple and it is, but how often like we just complicate things that don't need to be complicated. Just like what you just said. Eat your food as medicine or you'll eat medicine as food. How many people take prescription medicines every day?
I think it's probably most Americans.
Yeah. Seriously, I bet you it's 1 in 2 people take some form of a prescription medication.
Because, and I'll take that one step further, because of their diet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they're taking prescription medication, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, high, you know, diabetes, whatever that is, in direct relationship with their lack of food and exercise. And that's where if you do what is hard, life will eventually be easy. What that's meant is that the easiest thing in the world is to sit there on the couch and to not exercise. It's hard. If I only worked out when I wanted to, I'd weigh 400 pounds. But over the course of time, your life will be much harder if you choose to not exercise and eat right. Now, if you do the hard things up front and you do exercise and you do eat right and you do get healthy, your life will become easier because you will be in better shape. You won't have the same health problems. You won't have,
you can still move and function when you get older.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that is where if you do what is hard, life will be easier. Now, that's never going to say that life is easy. But here's the other thing is that I love this saying and I'm throwing a lot at you, but I am 100% in control of myself 100% of the time when it comes to my emotions, how I react. And that also from your mindset
I'm sorry. I'm just processing that 100% of the time. I can't say that.
Now, when I need to have a moment where I need to say, God, I'm going to step away from you right now. And I need to cuss and swear because I'm human. I have that ability.
You're saying that you do your best to have those moments in a place or in a space that isn't harmful or impacting someone else in a negative way.
And I use the analogy of a guy cuts you off at 6 o'clock in the morning and, you know, you flip him off, you honk the horn, you know, you get into that and it's a super high level intensity. You get to work and the first thing you do is you tell your buddies about it. And then at lunch and then at break time, you tell them again. And
so
then
you're
at lunch
spilling
time,
that all over everywhere you go.
Exactly. And then you get home and all of a sudden you're short with your wife and you're short with your kids. You know what type of day I had? This son of a guy cut me off in the morning. And now you let that one situation in your life
ruin a whole day.
And you're winding up the whole time.
Oh, yes. Something so stupid.
And so that's what I call that. If you really look look at your life, you're probably 98 to 99% happy every single day. And then 1% is the uncontrollable. So you can control 98%. So that 10 seconds that guy cut me off, I couldn't control that. How I reacted for the rest of the day, I am 100% in control of myself on how I reacted and how I let that. I forgive people now right away for cutting me off. I'm like, oh, I'm so mad. I forgive you.
I think I got the dog on the leash for the anger rage part.
Yeah.
It's the other areas that get me. For example, if you got a newer car, you know what the auto drive, whatever the feature is, where you can click it and it'll stay somewhat in the lanes. And my issue is I'm trying to get my auto drive working. What's that called?
Auto drive.
So I'm trying to get
cruise control.
Lane assist.
I'm trying to get my lane assist working right.
Yeah, yeah. Like one guy here not driving, tell you guys.
The irony. I'm trying to get my lane assist in place properly because right now it's out of alignment.
Yeah.
Still. That's a routine. That's your lane assist, yeah. Your routines. And when I'm in my routine, I'm fine. But when something comes that has pushed in, I'll give you an example. You know, we've got the stuff going on with war and there's the possibility of the threat of war, whether it's Iran to Russia, Ukraine situation. The fear comes in, and I'm not worried about me. I got two boys who are military age. I do not want them fighting somebody else's war.
Yeah.
It's not our war.
Yeah.
It's not our problem.
I agree more.
And we're borrowing trouble. So that's just fear.
Yeah.
That fear is not going to bring forth the best Jeff.
No.
That God has purpose for me.
And fear and faith cannot coexist.
Correct.
They cannot sleep in the same bed
together. It's one of those that I can give it head space, heart space, and then I end up allowing it to mute me. The best part of me.
Yes.
And so I can't fulfill my function and purpose.
Yep. And you have that in you of that fear, hate, anger,
right.
You know, and it is, and that's where I'm human. Mm-hmm. But I'm 100% in control of myself 100% of the time. What that means is that it's not that I don't need to go out to my garage and shop and just swear as loud as I possibly can, hit my heavy bag, release my male anger and testosterone. What it means is that I realize that. I'm conscious of it. And okay. I know that when I need to step away from you and in a relationship, I don't yell and scream and disrespect. I have the ability to say, I'm going to walk away right now because I'm not going to let my anger, rage, whatever you want to call it, testosterone, meanness, what I want to say right now affect. I am 100% in control of myself.
So you're saying you're leaving an environment before you lose control,
whatever that is,
right?
I'm always in control.
Got it.
Always in control as a manager. When I would have to discipline somebody, I was always in control of the situation. I didn't disrespect. I didn't yell. And I always made it a point to be in control of myself. And now as the growth that I've had, I can legitimately say I am 100% in control of myself 100% of the time. Here's the biggest thing. I took the word need out of my vocabulary. And that was part of the forgiving yourself. I don't need anyone to love me because I love myself, not in an egotistical way. And that's what I want to make sure and stress, that this is not about the, I love myself because I got big biceps type thing.
Well, I mean, no, but for real.
A little thunder, a little lightning. One thing I learned, and that brought me back to that shotgun, is that I said, I'm never going to need somebody to love me again. I'm never going to need somebody to create value in myself again.
So that comes from your experience of, like you said, hey man, I had my entire self-worth wrapped up in this person. And then when she basically told me that this person wasn't really that good.
Yeah.
Kind of like, wow.
And I needed the validation from this person for my own self-worth. And
but man, how many people are like that out there right now?
Oh, 100%. And that's what leaves you susceptible and vulnerable to abusive relationships, bad situations.
What did you just say yesterday, Jeff? What's the percentage of marriages that are happy?
Oh gosh, I would say that are happy in marriage, maybe 10%.
Maybe. That's a good
number. So if we say 10%, isn't it fair to say that probably 90% of people is because they have their self-worth tied up in their significant other? So when their significant other isn't reciprocating that, hey man, you're doing so awesome, you're so great and wonderful all the time, you don't feel good about yourself because they're not feeding your self-worth.
Yes. And that's where
make you unhappy?
Well, and you'll never truly be able to love somebody else if you don't love yourself.
Well, right, because you already have low self-worth.
And you'll always need them to love you. And that's that void. And that's where from all of my studies and all of my it goes back to forgiving yourself and loving yourself.
if this excuse me, if this is you and you're about to get married, stop. When you have two people who are unfulfilled, who are toxic in one of the three areas that we talked about, if you're looking for your spouse to give you happiness and fulfillment and meaning and purpose, you have given them an impossible task they will never be able to fulfill.
100%.
And you've already doomed your relationship. And so getting married is not going to make your life better. It's going to make it a living hell.
Yeah. Oof. And you're going to say, you're not fulfilling my needs.
Right.
That's
a trope from our bleacher seat that we're being fed from this world.
And then that dives into your child. Everyone's got childhood trauma and you know what I went through. You know what my mom did to me. You know what my dad did to me. And now you're
all that unforgiveness you're talking about, man.
You will never
been let go.
You'll never be whole together. And if you weren't first whole separately,
that's where the need, that's where that word, and until you can take that word need out of your vocabulary. And guys, for the first time in my life, I was able to do that. And I stood in my living room, and it was after my ex had moved out and she had the kids that week. And I was by myself. It was a year and a half later after she had left, and I was by myself in my house. And I wasn't dating anyone. I'd taken myself out of all scenes. And I would never forget. I looked to my left and I looked to my right as I was looking out of my bay window. And I was like, I'm good. I was like, I'm happy. I'm like, I love myself. I'm okay. I'm accomplishing. I'm progressing. I'm becoming the best version of me. I love myself. I've gone. And it was like, it was such an incredible thing.
It's like the light bulb went off for you. Like, ping.
For the first time in my life, I could look you in the eye and tell you I didn't need anyone or anything to be happy. I didn't need to smoke pot. I didn't need to drink. I didn't need this person's in my life. I didn't need anything to be happy. What made me happy were now my choices that I'm incorporating into my life. And when you empower yourself like that, and mind you, when I say it took me a year and a half to 2 years to get to that point, that's where I want to stress to everyone out there is it is a journey.
Process, for sure.
Yes, and it's not a destination. There's not this point where like, oh, okay, now I found joy, now I'm shutting it down, you know?
So you went from a shotgun, the barrel of a shotgun, to now a motivational speaker.
Yes.
And a Christ follower.
Yes.
What introduced you, or who introduced you to Christ, or got you on that path to start moving forward towards where you're at now?
The easiest way to explain that is 100% rock bottom and no one else was around, you know, and that's where God comes into your life. When you look and you're like, I feel so alone. I feel like everyone's turned their back on me, or that I haven't lived the life right. And there's something greater than myself out there. And I had never really opened up myself to it.
So it's just like the seek and you will find thing. You were just still seeking because you hadn't found it.
Yep. And but what was hard with me is that I had to be true to myself and my message. And that's where it helped me out so much to listen to those near-death experiences, because it bridged the gap.
What's that mean for you?
I couldn't be the person standing outside the concert with the billboard saying, believe in Jesus or you're going to burn in hell now. Like, I couldn't go that extreme. Yeah, it wasn't part of my... It wasn't true to myself. I had to slowly...
Because you're saying, like, I never took that person serious.
Yes.
So I could never be that person. If I'm going to be a bridge to show people the experience that I've had to get to the other side, it's not going to look like that.
So many people...
I don't know that the sandwich sign... People have converted many people.
No.
I don't think it's a working model.
I guess what I mean by... No, I couldn't go extreme.
I'm not poo-pooing on your picture. I'm just saying that... And I can't name the church right now, but there is a church. I think they're made up of lawyers. That is their whole message. Like, they hold the signs up that God hates gays. And,
right.
And I mean, ultimately their whole message is God hates you, so turn to Jesus. It's like, what?
Yeah. And that's where I couldn't Jeez. Be. I couldn't in the blink of an eye. And when I say I had to be true to myself, it was an evolution. It wasn't just like I was like, oh, well, now I believe in Christ and he's in my heart. I didn't know how to have a relationship with him. I didn't know how to bring God and Christ into my life. And I didn't know what steps to take and what to do. And I started church shopping. I started going to different churches. I started to meet with different pastors and sit down with them and get their ideas and, you know, and be able to be honest where, okay, there's certain parts of, you know, religious teachings that I'm not on board with. And that's the hate and that's the fear. And those are the things. And so when I say I had to be true to myself, I couldn't just say, oh, well, I hit rock bottom and I turned to Jesus. And now everything in my life is Christ-like.
So you went through that process of explaining these things out of like, hey, here's my thoughts on these. Do you have any pushback or any guidance of...
I had to say, hey, here's how I feel. And you as a pastor, where I would come and say, hey, look, I have trouble wrapping my head around a vengeful, jealous God.
Yeah. Help explain this to me. Why is it like this?
And I have trouble wrapping my head around, this living in fear and this all knowing and all loving God is going to sit there with a clipboard at the end of my life. And if I get one too many check marks, that he's going to pull the lever. And I couldn't wrap my head around.
The balances are 1,001 to 999.
Yeah, and I love I'm not a South Park fan, but there's the one episode where
I'm a big South Park fan. I'm not gonna lie.
I've laughed plenty of times in it, but like there's the one episode where the nuclear holocaust, whatever, and there's a billion people, and there's the Mormons and the Jews and the Muslims, and they're standing at the pearly gates, and St. Peter goes, and the winner is the Mormons, and because I have trouble saying, well. So there's 8 billion people in the world. There's only a billion Christians. So there's 7 billion other people. Is God going to punish them if they don't know that there's who Jesus is or chose because of the environment they were raised in? They were raised in a Muslim environment. So that's what they know. Is God going to then look at that person and say, you're going to burn in the fiery pits of eternity, even though you had no control where you were raised and what you were taught as a kid? Because they believe as adamantly about Allah or whatever their religion is, as you do and we do about Christ, because of how they were raised. And these were all the questions that I've continued to struggle with.
Right. It should be expected to think that a being who's all-knowing, all-powerful, ever-present, which, by the way, we're not, he's more than what we are.
Yes.
He's infinite. We are finite, limited. And to think that we, the little thimble, can hold the entire ocean is ridiculous. I mean, it's like, duh. Well, that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to understand a God who is infinite and even bigger than the ocean, much larger than your thimble. And I think that it's fair to say we're going to wrestle the rest of our life and possibly even into eternity with all that he is. I heard someone say, an old lady say it this way. You know, she's like, she was praying and she was worshiping God. And she said, you know, I'm sitting here and after 5 minutes, I've prayed to you and I've thanked you and I've worshiped you. And I'm struggling to think about, how am I going to do this for eternity with you?
Right.
The Spirit spoke back to her and said, you're right now only praising me and worshiping me for what you know about me. Every day I'm going to teach you in eternity. Every day I'm going to teach you something new about me that will give you reason to work. Yeah.
Don't we actually though, like in eternity? Yes. But don't we actually kind of get that right now?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, like every day you could just find something new that you're just like, whoa. All right. Cool,
truly. God. If you're looking,
yeah.
You know, I've said this many times in our men's Bible study. I fully acknowledge that I've become the best version of myself today, and I'm better today than I was yesterday.
Right.
And I hope to be a better person tomorrow. You know, it's easier to look at it, and maybe you guys wouldn't be able to measure this, but I see it. But certainly you could see, if you saw who I was 30 years ago, you go, dude, you are like complete. That's transformational.
Preaching to the choir.
Right, right. And my hope is that in just a year's time, I will have that kind of change continue because
you're a way better person in 2025 than you even were in 2024.
Because I don't have a lot of things figured out.
Yeah.
About God, about life, and I'm still learning. So I'm still whittling things off. And I would say you probably would say the same. There's understandings about who God is and even about what he wants from us that we're still trying to figure out. We're wrestling through it.
I was just laughing when he's rattling off all these questions he had because I was like, oh. Yeah, this was me asking you all these things, like literally to a T.
And that's why the journey never ends about becoming our best version is because hopefully every day we are flaking off more and more of who we used to become who God has always purposed for us to be.
The better I live my life, the better my life is.
Right.
And the better I live my life, the more I walk in alignment with Christ as much as I possibly can, not because I'm scared to go to hell. And I think that's what I meant, where I had to be as real with myself as I possibly could be, because I want to be more like him.
Right, right.
You know, because of the way that he lived and his philosophies and morals and how he loved and cared and treated people and what he did for humanity and society. Like, that's what makes me want to
live. He didn't just teach us the best life. He modeled it. He modeled it for us.
For you, in simple terms, for you, it's not the fear of the stick per se. It's the desire of the carrot.
Love that.
To displace the same energy that Christ brought about when on the earth.
Yes. I feel like I have figured out the secret to life of have love in your heart and share it with the world. That's the number one message of 700 NDEs that Christ and God told him to come back and share with humanity, is spread love. Everything is built and created off of love as a foundation.
Well, I mean, take 700 people's account aside, right in the Bible, what's the number one commandment?
Love. What's said in there, and it's said in there, like, there's a number that is said in there. It's like 31,000 times or whatever, but it's the number one thing that we have in our heart. And that what they say is that when you cross over, the love that you feel when you ask, how are you supposed to worship God like this for the rest of your life? Because the overwhelming love and joy that you feel from your creator is so massive down to the cellular level. Spreading this message to everyone who can hear of forgiving yourself, becoming the best version of yourself, spreading love, having love in your heart, but having love in your heart through forgiving yourself, by being grateful, by having a faith in a higher power. And the more people that can hear this, this is my mission on how we can make our world a better place. The better you treat people, the better you treat yourself. It just is all tied together. We're all one.
Yes.
In our culture today, we love clips. That's why I think the YouTube shorts get so much traffic.
Yeah.
But the danger of clips is you pull things from context and you lose the overall story. And so just to put a nice little cap on this for everybody, we know from scripture, a good summation of who God is love. Mm-hmm. And the constant theme of the Bible is that theme of love. And if you want a good picture of what it looks to follow God and to know him, it's to reflect that same love.
Yeah.
Not hate. Not the fear and all the other, it's that love. There is someone that we should fear. It's God, and God is love. And if we love him the way we should, we have nothing to be afraid or fearful of.
No, that's so well said. And then from the, you know, I know that this could open up another rabbit hole, but just to say this from, because I do cater my talks towards men, and you know, so many times you think of love as a weakness and it's, oh, you're soft, you're love, you're, you know, but I talk about the strength, power, and control that it takes. It takes strength to forgive. It takes power and control to forgive and to be grateful and to love and to spread love. I mean, it
How
is
about power and control just to have self-control.
Yeah.
Well, I'm seriously, what a skill to have that most, it's definitely a weakness of mine. What a skill to have.
As a bad guy, who would you rather deal with? Okay, you're a bad guy, so put it in that category. You're trying to hurt somebody or take something from somebody. Would you rather face an enraged, violent man who's just angry at the world and you got to face him? Or would you rather face a father protecting his child?
Such a good analogy.
I'll take the enraged man any day. Because he's going to burn out.
Yeah, love will cause a person to give everything they have. When you're angry, you're done the moment your rage is over.
Yeah. Oh, so well said. Mm. That's awesome. Why you're the pastor.
Well, Orion, thank you so much for joining us, man. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah.
And in closing, whenever we have a guest on, Jeff always prays us out. So thanks so much for joining us, man.
God, I am so thankful for the kindred spirit of your Holy Spirit that is in us and present here in this room. And I pray that you would continue to help us understand who you are and what you want from us. And it's always the best for us. Your plans are always perfect and they always come out just as they're supposed to be. Help us trust in that and trust in you and live in that purpose and mission you gave us. So I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. This has been Blindly Obvious. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace, love, and God bless. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and share the word. And remember, eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.
Past the signs each day, in little things missed along the way, the symbols hidden in glamour's light, blindly obvious, but out of sight.
magician's lie. A trick so good you don't ask why. The truth, it sits with open arms, but we fool ourselves with deception's charm.
Oh, I can see it. The roads lead back to you.